Welcome to the Dayspring Audio Library, the teaching ministry of Pastor Daniel Rehoff. Thanks for joining us. We hope this message will have a powerful impact on your life. So sit back and enjoy today's time in the Word.
This week, as you know, is called Passover week, right? And so there's a lot of terms that are thrown around. I was talking to a person today, and they were asking me, you know, why does their church do this at that, and why this day is this? And the person was asking me a lot of these questions, and I was kind of thinking about Passover week. And one of the questions that was asked was, why is this called Passover week? I mean, I get Easter. Easter is the day that the tomb was empty, that Jesus rose from the grave. And I get Good Friday, you know, we kind of get that. That's the day that Christ died. But what is the whole thing behind the Passover week? Well, the reason it's called Passover week is what we're going to look at tonight, okay? So we're going to go to the Old Testament, and I just want to explain to you so you kind of understand it. And if you understand, now here's the deal. If you can stay with me here for a few minutes, you understand the Passover week and what the Passover was, that will really paint a really clear picture of what the big deal, I hate to say it like that to minimize it, but what the big deal about Jesus dying on the cross the week of the Passover, okay? And why Easter is such a big deal, and to the Jews at that time, it was such a symbolic thing. It was like hitting them over the head with a 2x4, like, whoa! Like, I can't believe this. So I want you to stick with me here, and I want you to get this, and I want you to learn. So if you got a Bible, go all the way to your Old Testament. So the first book of the Bible is Genesis. The second one is Exodus. So if you go to the book of Exodus, that's a book that not a whole lot of times you read it, but it's a really good book. I will just real quick try to tell you a story about what happened about 3,500 years ago, all right? So there's this guy, his name is Moses, and Moses' job is God called him up to get the Israelites out of slavery. Now, real quick, the Israelites, that's kind of what we would call the modern-day Jewish people, okay? They were called the Israelites. I just don't want these terms to escape you, okay? So these God's chosen people, and they're slaves. They're slaves in Egypt, and the head of Egypt was a pharaoh, the guy that was in charge of the whole thing, and he kept the Jews as slaves. I've been to Egypt. Amy, we've gone 4 times. I was a tour guide there, and I toured through the pyramids, and I've seen the mud pyramids and the clay pyramids. I've seen all these pyramids, gone through it, and it's incredible amount of work, and every Egyptian guide says, oh no, the pharaohs, they hired people to build these. Well, I don't think so. If you read the Bible, the Israelites were slaves, and I believe who built the pyramids? Probably the Israelites were the ones that were building the pyramids, because I'm sure Pharaoh wasn't writing a check for all this, right? So anyways, so this is, like I said, about 3,500 years ago, and God said, Moses, I want you to go to the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Some of you may have heard this story. Do you remember the movie, like with Charlton Heston, okay? Do you remember how, like, they cross the Red Sea and he does this thing and whoosh, the Red Sea opens and they all go through? Okay, we remember that part of the story, but we got to kind of back up in the story a little bit to see why they went to the Red Sea. Why were they there? Well, they were trying to be released from Pharaoh, and so God kept bringing all these plagues, and the water turned to blood and frogs came out and all these really bad things happened. And so finally, God's done with it, and he's fed up with it, and Moses is like at his wit's end that the Pharaoh won't let the Israelites go. So if you have your Bible, Exodus chapter 11, verse 1, just look at it as I read it. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, afterwards he will let you go. Okay, so I got one more for him, all right, and he's gonna let it go at this time, all right, he's gonna let us go. Now, we're gonna skip ahead to Exodus chapter 12. Now, this plague is long, okay, some of the other ones were quick, it was just kind of like, hey, you know, this thing's gonna happen, but this next one, this last one, he spends a little bit of time, and he explains it. I want you to put your thinking cap, and I want you to kind of put yourself in their shoes as slaves, and kind of understand what he says. Verse 5 of chapter 12. Now, he tells Moses, he's giving Moses instructions. Moses, he says in these earlier verses, he says, I want you to tell, you know, the head of the household there to get a lamb. Because remember, they're slaves, but they still have farms, they still have lambs, they still have animals because, you know, they're feeding themselves. I want you to get a lamb. And I want you to make sure that it's a good lamb and it's not the crippled lamb. Don't get the junky one, okay? Don't get the crippled one. Don't get the dead one. Get a good one. Look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Oh, so what should the lamb be? It should be spotless. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 7, skip down there. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides posts and on the upper door of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So, Moses, I want you to tell all the families to go get the best lamb you can find, and I want you to slaughter the lamb. And then the blood from the lamb, I want you to take, and I want you to paint on the doorpost. So, like, if we were looking at that doorpost over there, you know, I want you to put some on the side, I want you to put some on the top, and I want you to paint, literally paint on the top of the doorpost with the blood of the lamb. And then you're going to go inside, and then you're going to eat the lamb for dinner. All right, let's take a look at it. He's a little more rules here. Verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So you're going to take this lamb, you're going to make sure it's without blemish, no broken bones, you know, no spots, not crippled, and you're going to apply the blood to the top and the sides of the door frame, and then you're going to roast the lamb, and you're going to eat the lamb. It's very interesting, isn't it? When you think about all the instructions, God was not like the God of like, eh, I don't know, do whatever. He's very particular, isn't he? I mean, I'm telling you exactly how I want this done, and you're going to pay attention, and you're going to do it exactly this way, right? Verse 11, and thus shall you eat it with your, now look at this, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's, now look at the next word, it is the Lord's what? Passover. Now, remember that word, Passover. Remember, what are they doing now? They've just sacrificed a lamb. This is very interesting. And they're taking the blood, and they're painting over the doorpost, and they're going to eat it. But look what they're doing when they eat it. Look at how they're eating it. Look what they're doing. Get the picture. Their loins are girded, so what that kind of means is like if they were wearing a robe, you know, it was kind of hiked up, it was cinched up. It wasn't like they're in their pajamas. It wasn't like they were relaxing on a couch. It's like you got your coat on, you know, your pants are on, your belt's on, you're ready to go, okay? You're girded up, you're ready to go. Your shoes are on. Your staff is in your hand. So your walking stick is in your hand. And you're going to not sit back on the couch and eat it. You're going to stand up and you're going to eat this. And you're not going to take a long time eating this. You're going to eat this quickly. You're gonna eat this quick. Now I kind of get the picture, kind of understand what's taking place on this. He's setting for them a symbol or a picture. I want you ready to go, okay? I want you ready to go. Your staff's in your hand. You're standing up. You're eating quickly. Okay, come on, let's eat. Isn't that funny? You think about most times when parents are having kids eat, it's like, slow down. And now the kids are so used to hearing slow down, and they're like, Dad's going, well, actually this time, speed up. Let's go. Come on, eat, you know? So you're going to eat this in haste, and you're not going to take your time. And you're going to be as if you're ready to leave, because this night something very bizarre is going to happen. And he's going to go and he's going to tell us what's going to take place that night. Okay, remember, this is a very, very powerful thing that God's telling Moses, and he wants it followed to the letter of the law. And he says, I want you to remember that this is the night that what? God's Passover. Let's look at what happens, what he says is going to happen. And get an idea for it. Verse 12, and he explains this. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. So you're going to do this. You're going to kill the lamb. You're going to paint the blood on the doors. You're going to eat this. Why? Because tonight I'm going to pass through Egypt. And look what he says. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Look at verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. Now look at these next five words. When I see the what, church? What's it say? When I see the what? When I see the blood, I will do what? I will. There's that word again. So are you starting to understand what this word Passover is? It says, when I see the blood from the lamb on the doorpost, I will pass over, and keep going, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite this land of Egypt. So basically what's going to happen is I'm going to go through Egypt tonight. When I see the blood on the doorpost that you did by faith, I told you to do this, you did it by faith, you sacrificed the lamb, the blood is there from the lamb. When I see that, I'm going to pass over your house. Now go down to verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. All right. So what I'm going to do tonight is when I go through Egypt, every house I don't see the blood, they're going to have to pay for this. All right. So the firstborn male of every household, including the animals, which is interesting, are going to be killed tonight. Egypt was a big thriving community, was a big thriving city. I mean, we're talking the whole nation there. And firstborn, so it wasn't just the babies, it's the firstborn. Raise your hand tonight if you are a firstborn. Okay, so all of you guys, if you were in Egypt, you would die tonight, all right? Sorry. But that's it. So that could have been grandpa that was firstborn. It could be teenager, he was firstborn. It could have been baby who was just happened to be firstborn. But if it's a male and it's firstborn, tonight you're gone. Now, imagine if that happened in, let's just say it happened here in Wisconsin. Let's just say, you know, Milwaukee. I mean, how many people would be dead? I mean, it would be astronomical number of people. And it wouldn't just be like, well, two or three people died. We're talking like an entire civilization. Boom. The firstborn are gone. But when I come through to get rid of the firstborn male, if I see the blood, I will pass over your residence. I will pass over your house, okay? And you'll live. So now go backwards to verse 14. And look what he says about this. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So he's telling him this, listen, what you're going to do tonight, you're going to find the best lamb you can, the lamb without blemish, the lamb with no broken bones, the lamb without spot. You're going to take that lamb, you're going to sacrifice the lamb, you're going to paint the doorpost with the blood, you're going to eat the lamb, you're going to do it in haste with your clothes on, ready to go, your shoes on, you're standing up, you're eating quickly as if you're ready to leave, because I know we're getting out of here, we're going, you know. And he says, I want you to do this in a memorial for what's going to take place tonight. So they were told to do this as a memorial, as a feast, before it even happened. I mean, it was going to happen that night, but just letting you know, forever, I want you to celebrate this. So someone asked me the question today, Pastor Dan, do you think that means that we'll be doing this in heaven? I'm going to have to say yes. Why? Because he said forever. Well, that's a long time. Yeah, but just think of all the great lamb we're going to have in heaven. I mean, it's going to... Is there food in heaven? Apparently so. But so he says this is going to take place. And so for hundreds of years, the Israelites celebrate the Passover. They have a week that they remember. Oh, you remember when our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were in Egypt and they were slaves for 70 years and it was so awful, it was terrible in this captivity? Yeah. And you remember how Pharaoh wouldn't let us go? Yeah. And then you remember how God said, take the lamb, sacrifice the lamb, from the blood of the lamb, put on the doorpost, and I'll pass over your house, and you'll live. Yeah, I remember that. Okay, that's what we're celebrating. And so to this day, the Jewish people still celebrate Passover. And 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, they were still celebrating the week of Passover. Now, what's interesting about that is this. Jesus comes on the scene. Now, remember, 99.99999% of the people in the world didn't get it, who Jesus was. Mary got it at the beginning. She understood because she knew it was true. Joseph got it. Jesus' own brothers and sisters didn't really get it at the beginning. And Jesus starts his ministry, gets his disciples and gets them together, and they start to do this thing. And do you remember one of the first thing when Jesus starts his ministry? Have you heard the name John the Baptist? Do you remember the name John the Baptist? Okay, the book of John talks about that a little bit. Well, there's this guy, he's out in the wilderness, and he's doing this thing where he's baptizing people in water, showing, these people are showing that yeah, someday the Messiah is coming. Someday the Passover lamb is coming to pay our sins by his blood. And so, remember, before Jesus, it was kind of like a credit card type of a faith where they knew someday the payment was going to be made, but all they were doing right now was believing that someday it was going to get paid. You know, nowadays we look back at the cross and we say, oh no, it was paid. But in those days, they were looking forward to it getting paid someday. So there's John the Baptist, and he's out in the wilderness, and he's baptizing people, saying, hey, someday the Messiah is coming. If you look at John chapter 1, verse 29, it says this. It says, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, behold, the what? Lamb of God. So now, to the Jewish people who were alive at that time, even the religious people or even the non-religious people, they're still celebrating Passover, right? To that day, they're still celebrating Passover. And everyone, every Jewish kid knows and is taught in school the story of Passover. This is not like some forgotten religion. Everyone knows the Torah. Everyone knows about Passover. And now you got this guy in the wilderness who says, wait, look over there. Wow, behold the Lamb of God. You know, he doesn't say, oh, behold, you know, an eagle of God or a lion of God. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which does what? Which takes away the sin of the world. Every Jewish person that could hear that was like, what? Wait, whoa. The Lamb of God, which is going to pay for our sin. See, to us nowadays, we look back at it and it means something to us. Oh, the Lamb of God. Okay, the Lamb of God. But you don't get it. Those people, you know, since 3,500 years ago, have been celebrating Passover, been sacrificing a lamb. You know, they've been bringing, you know, for hundreds of years, a lamb to church, to the temple, so to speak, on the Sabbath, sacrificing a lamb, sacrificing. Hundreds of thousands of millions of animals were sacrificed. Someday the lamb's coming. Someday the lamb's coming. Everyone knew it. The temple, nonstop, busy. Thousands and thousands of sacrifices being made all the time. And now this guy in the wilderness says, oh, that's the Lamb of God. Whoa, this is a big deal. This is unbelievable. And then if we go through the New Testament some more, the New Testament really establishes the relationship between the fact of the Passover lamb and Jesus Christ being the lamb. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are an unleavened. For even Christ, our, what's the next word, church? Passover is sacrificed for us. So there's a distinct connection for those people at that time saying, hey, Jesus isn't just some guy. He's not some prophet. He's not just a nice guy. No. That guy is the lamb we've been waiting for. He's the Passover lamb. This is the one that's going to pay the sin debt. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, also a book in the New Testament. But without the precious blood of Christ, look at this, as of a what? Lamb, without blemish and without spot. See, Jesus Christ was the only one who could be called the Lamb of God, look at, without blemish and without spot. Why? Because he's the only one that was sinless. Anybody else couldn't be called that. You know, for instance, let's just be honest. Dan Rehoff could never call himself the Lamb of God. Why? Because everyone in this room knows that Dan Rehoff is a sinner. Who said amen first? Was that you? It's terrible. But hey, you're no better, right? You, Larry, you're not going to call yourself the Lamb of God. Why? Because we know that Larry sins, and all the church said amen. That's a little bit better. Who else can I pick on? But see, that's how it was. See, to say that you were the Lamb of God meant that you had to be sinless, and you had to be perfect without blemish, nothing. I mean, zero sin. The only person that could have ever done that, the only person that could have claimed that, the only person that could have been even observed at that would have been Jesus Christ, because he was literally without sin. Now take a look at Mark chapter 14, verse 12. This is also a passage in the New Testament. Here we are talking about the Passover. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover. Killed the Passover, what do you mean? Killed the calendar? No, they're talking about the Passover lamb. Jesus' disciples said unto him, where wilt thou go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? So what do you mean he's eating the Passover? He's eating the lamb. They're celebrating Passover week. They've sacrificed the lamb, and they're roasting lamb. They're eating it. So the night before Jesus was crucified, he's with his disciples. He's having the Last Supper. Now think, what are they eating? Well, they're not just having chicken. You know, right? They're having the Passover dinner. There's been a lamb. He's saying, go prepare it. Go get ready for it. You know, remember, they didn't have Costco. They didn't have a store. You just didn't go buy it. You had to go sacrifice this thing and find the right lamb and do all this stuff. And they're celebrating the Passover week. So they're celebrating that. They're celebrating the fact that the Passover lamb, that God saved them from death. The blood of the lamb saved them from death. And now Jesus Christ is going to be sacrificed on the very same week they're celebrating. That's why Easter, okay, that's why this doesn't happen, let's say, in June or July. It has to happen on this week. This is the week of the Passover celebration, the Passover feast. It's so symbolic. And the Jewish people, that's why when Jesus would say, hey, you guys search the scriptures, you should know it's me. See, now we look at it and we're like, yeah, how did you miss that? That's what he's saying. How could you guys miss all the symbolism? I mean, this is Passover week. You know, I haven't sinned. You know, you read the scriptures. I fulfilled every commandment of the law. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And guess what I am? You know, I'm the Passover lamb. Take a look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. There's no payment for sins without the sacrifice being made, without literally the blood being spilt. Did Jesus Christ have to die on a cross? Yes. Why? Because he had to shed his blood. Why? Because he's the Passover lamb. He's not a prophet. He's not just a nice guy. He wasn't just a martyr. But behold, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So this week was called Passover week. And again, it's celebrating what took place 3,500 years ago when God told Moses to tell the Israelites, sacrifice an animal, paint the blood, and I'm going to wipe out all the firstborn male Egyptians. And you're going to live because of the sacrifice and the shedding of blood. Now, in the New Testament, we have Jesus Christ, who God also says, I'm going to save you from an eternity in hell. Why? Because of the shedding of blood of who? Of the Lamb of God. And the shedding of blood is going to pay for the forgiveness of your sins, okay? Without the shedding of blood, there is no payment. There is no remission of sins. The Passover lamb 3,500 years ago saved God's people from death. And Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood, saved the whole world from eternal separation from God, from eternal death. Why? Because he died on the cross, all right? So when you hear it's Passover week or celebrating Passover, I just don't want it to be like, oh, I don't know, it's something. I don't know, why are we doing this? Now you understand. And those people back in those days, 2,000 years ago, it was like a ton of bricks hitting them in the face. That's the Lamb of God. That's the one we've been waiting for all these years. How could they miss it? Guys, listen, I don't know everybody in the room tonight. I know we have a lot of first-time attenders tonight. I'm glad you're here with us. I'm glad you chose to celebrate Good Friday with us. I don't want you to miss it either. I don't want you to ever just think, well, Jesus was a good person. He did something nice for me. He was a prophet. He was a nice guy. I don't want you to miss it, but he is the Lamb of God who took away the sin debt of all mankind. When Jesus Christ died on a cross 2,000 years ago, his death just wasn't, well, that's nice, that's too bad. No, literally, his blood was shed for the payment for all the sins that we've done. And God says, all I want you to do is just believe it. I don't want you, you don't have to go to church, you don't have to give money, you don't have to get baptized. I just want you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb for you. He's the one that paid the debt for you. Don't miss that. Don't miss that, because, you know, you could go to bed tonight and not know where your eternity is. You could also go to bed tonight and know exactly where your eternity is. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I were to die tonight, I'll spend an eternity in heaven. Not because I'm a good person, because we all know I'm not, because some of you amened it, but because I put my trust in Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb. He was the Lamb of God who paid the sin debt for mankind. I couldn't pay it. He could. I believe that. Is it that simple? It is that simple. Pretend for a moment this hand's me and you. Pretend that my glasses are all the bad things we've done. Here we are. Here's the bad things we've done. Pretend for a moment this hand's God. God's in heaven. God says, I love you, but I hate the sins. No one can go to heaven with sin because there's no sin in heaven. You need a lamb. You need the Passover lamb to die because, remember the verse, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The lamb has to die to pay for that. Now, interesting. He doesn't say going to church pays for it. He doesn't say giving money pays for it. He doesn't say being baptized. He doesn't say taking Holy Communion. He never says that in the Bible. He says the way to pay for that is death. Someone has to die and pay for it, period. Well, you or I could die, but we couldn't pay the sin debt because we're not the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. We're not the Passover Lamb, but Jesus Christ is. When he died, watch, when he died, his death paid the debt. It's the only person that could have paid it. What's the proof? Now think, little quiz. What's the proof of the fact that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt? Think about that. What's the proof of that? It could have just been anybody. What if Dan Rehoff would have died on a cross? Well, what's the proof that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt? The proof is what? Easter morning, right? That's the receipt for Good Friday. That's the paid in full. That's the finish. Why? Because when he paid the debt, he could pay for it, conquer death, and come back, rose from the dead 3 days later, and prove that he had conquered death, that he had paid the sin debt. See, if Dan Rehoff would have died, he'd still be in the grave. There is no proof. Right? The proof is that Jesus Christ came back to life. Easter Sunday morning is the proof that Good Friday was valid, that Good Friday was legitimate, that Good Friday really was the Passover lamb that died. Not just anybody, but the Passover lamb. Sunday morning is the receipt for what happened on Good Friday. Okay? This verse right here is so awesome. God so loved the world that he gave his Passover lamb, his begotten son, that whosoever, look at the next word, believes in him. It doesn't say whosoever goes to church, whosoever gives money. It doesn't say that. It says whosoever believes in him should not perish. Pastor, my church told me I had to stop sinning. Well, that's nice. Anybody here stop sinning? I'd like to meet you. I don't know of anybody that stopped sinning. You haven't stopped sinning. You may think you've stopped sinning, but I'll talk to your wife. Better yet, I'll talk to your mother-in-law and see what she says about you. Yeah. No one stops sinning. You can't stop sinning. It's impossible. You no matter how hard you try. Maybe for like 5 minutes you can maybe stop sinning. Maybe. 5 seconds maybe. No bad thoughts. No lustful thoughts. No evil thoughts. No, it's impossible. That's why he says whosoever believes, because you can't work for it. Because you didn't have to work for the Passover lamb. I did the work, so you don't have to. That's what he's saying. Jesus Christ paid the debt, so you don't have to. He shed his blood. You don't have to. That's the beauty of the Passover lamb, okay? So I hope that makes sense. And again, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would spend an eternity in heaven tonight, I encourage you to trust in Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, tonight on Good Friday as your Savior, okay? Let's close with a word of prayer, and then after our prayer, we're going to have our candlelight service. So here's what's going to happen. I'll just tell you real quick. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then after the prayer, Pastor Tanya's going to come up. We're going to start to sing. The ushers are going to hand out the little LED candles, and you can have that and hold on to it. And we're going to sing a couple songs together, all right? And we're going to dim the lights real slowly, and it's going to be a beautiful time, and I want it to be really special. And I want you to remember tonight, Good Friday 2022, being here together with your family, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for Good Friday 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord, for the Passover lamb who died on the cross. Father, maybe there's someone tonight in the quietness of their mind that doesn't know for certain if they're going to heaven when they die. Maybe they joined a church and the pastor told them to be good or take communion and that'll help. Maybe they think they're going to heaven, but Lord, you said in the Bible that we can know we have eternal life. Not by being good, not by working harder, but believing that Jesus Christ paid the debt for us. The Passover lamb paid the debt for us so we don't have to. Maybe someone tonight in the quietness of their mind is saying a simple prayer. God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't pay for all the bad things I've done. But God in heaven, I tonight believe that Jesus Christ was my Passover lamb. He died for me. He paid my debt with his blood. Yep, I get it. I get it. I trust it. I believe it. It's as simple as that. Maybe someone's done that tonight. Father, I ask that you would give them a special, special blessing tonight if they've trusted in you as Savior for the first time tonight. And they'd remember. They'd remember it was on Good Friday 2022 that they had done that. Wouldn't that be awesome? Father, maybe someone's doing that right now. I ask that you just a special blessing. They've trusted in Christ as Savior. And Lord, help us not to forget the meaning of Passover and help this week to continue to be special. In order, we're just praying for Sunday morning. We'd be here. We'd be together to celebrate Easter. If there's one Sunday we need to be together, it's definitely this Sunday. Because without Sunday morning, Friday night was just another night. So we're thankful for Resurrection Sunday morning and Jesus Christ coming back from the dead and paying our debt. As for a blessing in our candlelight service, in your name we pray.
We are very interested in you and your spiritual growth. If you want to contact Dayspring for prayer or more information, you can reach us at 262-404-5092 or on the web at dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for listening.